Welcome to Talking Cricket with Real Sport. I am your host, cricket editor Daniel Lang. We are, of course, brought to you by Real Sport, which is www.realsport101.com. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about the Indian tour of Sri Lanka with cricket writer Nuwan Ranasinghe. So let's get to it. Okay, it's Talking Cricket here, courtesy of Real Sport, www.realsport101.com. I'm the cricket editor, Daniel Lang, and today I'm joined by Nuwan Ranasinghe. Nuwan, now, we've got plenty to talk about in terms of the Sri Lanka and India series tonight.
Yeah, first of all, thank you, Daniel, for having me on board there. Yes, it's been a very, very disappointing series if you're a Sri Lankan cricket fan. And yeah, there hasn't been a lot of positives for the Sri Lankan cricket team of late, especially in the recently concluded India series there. Yeah,
certainly makes for some ugly reading. Look, we'll dive straight into it because that's our big focus today. Is obviously that whole tour of Sri Lanka for India. Three tests, five ODIs, and a T20, and whitewashes across the board for India. Just sort of overall, what were the big takeaways for yourself?
I think the big takeaways, coming from a Sri Lankan perspective, is that the team that Sri Lanka have is a very young team, very inexperienced. But having said that, they just could not really compete at any point of the entire tour. If you look at all the results that have happened, it's been a very resounding defeat in each game. And it really sort of highlights the fact that this Sri Lankan team is a team that's in transition, but, you know, nobody's really stood up as strongly as you would like. And this is a big concern for Sri Lanka going into the World Cup, the 2019 World Cup. You know, because they've just lost so badly to India, they're now actually in danger of not qualifying as well. So there's a lot of problems here. And the big takeaway for me is just, if we look at it as a whole, the big takeaway is really the bowling. I just don't think Sri Lanka competed at all when it came to bowling. And they let India get away too easily. There were moments where Sri Lanka had India on the ropes when they're under pressure, but you know, India's batting is just so powerful, and they managed to get away each time. So that's what I really look at it as. It's really been a masterclass of Indian spin, really. That's how I look at it. Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the big takeaway for me, you look at someone like Virat Kohli, who notched 200 in each of the last two ODIs. Right. Was good in the chase again in the T20. Scored 82, I think, off the top of my head. Someone like that who stands up when things maybe aren't going so well. Someone like that who can dominate a game and take away a game, whether it's with the bat or the ball. I don't think Sri Lanka have someone like that at the moment.
Not at the moment. That's exactly right. I think for Sri Lanka, they really needed their senior players to stand up, or the experienced guys, people like, you know, Angelo Matthews. Even Chandimal has quite a bit of experience under his belt as well. Even your old speedsters like Malinga, the senior guys really needed to stand up for Sri Lanka, and it never really came. And that's what really put Sri Lanka on the back foot. You had guys like, you know, Thirumana scored an 80-odd in that third ODI, but, you know, then again, the batting Sri Lanka have is just not... they weren't consistent enough, you know? And this wasn't one guy that really stood up for in each game. If I look at the scorecards now for you, so if we go back to the second ODI, you know, you had people like Siri Wardener, 58, you know, 40s, 50s, whereas the Indians were at least, they always had at least one bloke at least turning up or making, you know, more than 80, and that really set the difference for you know, between both sides there.
Absolutely. Even if you take the sort of the holistic approach over the whole series, you look at the test series, Shikhar Dhawan scored 358 runs at an average of 89.5. Chiteshwar Pujara, 309 runs at an average of 77.25. For Sri Lanka, the best was Dimuth Karunaratne, which, I mean, 285 runs in six innings at 47 isn't awful, but when that's the best and you're coming up against those numbers, it's not great. And it's the flip side with the ball. Ashwin took 17 wickets. Jadeja took 13 wickets, Mohammad Shami took 10 wickets, and there was really no one who bowled consistently well or really asked any questions of those Indian batsmen, which really let them get away with it, to be honest with you.
You're exactly right. And the thing with all those players you're mentioning there is that they're all really experienced now, so they've got a couple of games under their belt. So people like Dhawan, Pujara, you know, Rahane, Kohli, these guys have so much experience. People like Ashwin and Jadeja, they're very comfortable on these wickets, so that really worked in their favour. Where Sri Lanka need to compete was their experienced guys need to stand up. People like your Matthews, Malinga, you know, people like even Karunaratne, you know, Thirumana, these guys are relatively experienced now. They've been on the international circuit for a couple of years now, and they need to stand up. If you look at the series averages for the Sri Lankans, yeah, only Karunaratne got above the 40s in terms of batting, and Matthews, you know, Matthews is probably the most experienced guy. He only averaged 30 with the bat, you know, only scored 182 runs across six innings. Very, very poor by his standards. And this is where, this is the problem, like, you know, I was actually, as a Sri Lankan cricket fan myself, I was very worried when Mahela retired in 2014 and Sangakkara retired in 2015. You had Dilshan retire in 2016. I thought to myself, you know, I couldn't really see any sort of youngsters coming up apart from Matthews. And I think we can see that now. Like, there's a big, big hole in Sri Lankan cricket. I was reading a couple of reports, and I think Sri Lanka's first-class cricket structure needs to be addressed. In terms of how they're bringing players onto the international arena, because as we've seen from this series, you know, they just haven't been able to compete. And this has actually been happening for more than a year now. You know, if you look at the recent Champions Trophy and the Zimbabwe series, you know, Sri Lanka also lost to Zimbabwe, and they only just beat them in the only test as well. So this has been going for quite a while now, and, you know, it's put Sri Lanka at, you know, rank number 8 in the world in tests and ODIs, I believe. So there is a big problem happening here, and that's what needs to be addressed, definitely.
Yeah, to me, it almost seems systemic now, in that it has for so long gone unaddressed, or what's been done hasn't resolved the issue and hasn't sort of reacted to that need to develop players for all conditions. Even someone like Angelo Matthews, when he came through, he was the bright hope with the bat, and he was a very handy bowler as well. I noticed in this series, he didn't bowl a single over in the series. He sort of moved away from being that all-rounder to a batsman, which, you know, that does happen. But he didn't really contribute with the bat either. You know, six innings, 182 runs at an average of 30. When you're under the pump, it's not good enough. It certainly puts a lot of pressure on the rest of the side. And there's a lot of players there that didn't score runs as and when you're required. You mentioned sort of Karunaratne got 97, I think, in the second dig of the first test. But other than that, Dick Willis 67, yeah. Mendes 36. But guys like Upal Taranga, who's been around for a long, long time now, he had a nightmare series, and he certainly wasn't alone. I think he sort of three tests, six innings, 88 runs, and he scored 64 of those in one dig.
Exactly right. The other really distressing thing for me, just from a Sri Lankan cricket point of view, is that all these grounds they're playing at, you know, Gaul, and they're playing at the, you know, in the Premadasa and the SSC. These are Sri Lankan strongholds when it comes to Test match victories. These are not grounds where Sri Lanka suffer like an innings defeat consistently. So this again highlights the fact that a lot of the young players coming through, they're just not good enough for Test cricket, Daniel. This is what I can see here. You know, like, and yeah, there have been sporadic, you know, performances. So if you look at the second test, you can see that Karunaratne made 141, you know, young Kusal Mendes made 110, but like, there's just, you know, India is just too strong here. Like, they've acclimatized very well as well, and, you know, that top order of theirs is just so powerful, you know, like, Dhawan, Kale Rahul's good bat as well, Pujara, Kohli, Rahane, Ashwin, even Hardik Pandya, all right? Hardik Pandya, number 8 batsman for India, he averaged 59 for the entire test series as well. And this is the thing, like, you know, Sri Lanka have traditionally always been a very, they've always been the type of team that relies on one player a lot. So in the 90s, it used to be Jayasurya and Kalutharana, then in the 2000s, there was a heavy reliance on people like, you know, Jayawardene and Sangakkara. But now going forward, there really isn't anyone that they rely on now. It looks to me like as soon as one guy goes out, they all go out. and that's been a recurring feature of this test series and even the one days as well.
It certainly feels like from, you know, an Australian perspective or a foreign perspective, it certainly feels like that aura around Sri Lanka is gone. Even, you know, when I grew up in the, you know, in the late 90s, early 2000s, some of the best, particularly one day games, but some of the best games of cricket you ever saw were between those powerhouse Australian sides and that Sri Lankan side that could really challenge anyone on their day. You mentioned Jayasuriya opening the batting with Marvin Attapattu and Arjuna Ranatunga sort of later on in his career at that point. There was always the expectation, well, you know, we might score 350, but they've got the batsman to chase it down. You feel now, if you go out and score 350, or you look at the first test for India here, they scored 600. And it's test over at that point. It's game over at that point.
Definitely, without a doubt. It's the way, you know, the test cricket in Sri Lanka is often, yeah, you make a big first innings total, and then if you're the batting side, and then you try to bowl them out. But look, the aura is definitely diminishing. I can certainly see that. A lot of the youngsters coming through, they can all play cricket, but there's just no spark. There's no one that really captures your eye, and you think, okay, this guy could go a long way. A lot of the Sri Lankan cricketers that we grew up with had that special character, that bit of fight about them. You know, guys like Ranatunga, Gurusinghe. You know, these guys really, you know, they didn't back down after a fight. They were always in it for the long haul. And with this Sri Lankan team now, we're not seeing that at all. You know, if you look at the third test in Kandy, India scored 487 in the first innings, and Sri Lanka were bowled out for 135 and then 181 again. So there's just no backbone, there's no fight. You know, the mental strength that you need for Test cricket, especially in batting, is just not there. And that's largely down to inexperience, and also the fact that a lot of these youngsters are just not cut out for Test cricket. There, Daniel. I mean, they can probably play the shorter form of the game, but definitely the longer form. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. From what I can see,
to me, that's the big problem, because you can say, well, look, there's a lot of young guys, there's a lot of inexperience, but at the very least, if they're thrown into Test cricket while there is early pain, at least there's building towards something.
Yeah,
there's okay, look, let's fight through it, get that hard skin about you, get that Test cricket under your belt. But it doesn't feel like these guys are going to last through that. It just feels like they're going to be moved along because they're not going to succeed, and they're not going to go around and challenge. And it's not going to be long now before your guys like Harath are gone.
And there's
nothing to replace it but more young guys who aren't ready, and as you said, probably aren't up to that standard.
Exactly. Yeah. Look, that's exactly right. So that's what's happening in Sri Lanka right now. So, Sanjay Jayasuriya is the chief chairman of selectors. You know, he's just literally trialing a lot of young guys every now and again. I think in the past 4 years, Sri Lanka has debuted over 51 new players into the side. So a total of 51 new debutants have played their first game there for Sri Lanka. So it just goes to show how they're really struggling to find a combination that suits them. And this is the thing, you know, you need to just get a select group of guys, keep them together. They might lose you a couple of games, but at least groom them, to train them into the type of play you want, and then slowly they'll build up from there. Sri Lanka aren't doing that from what I can see. You know, literally every game there's at least one new player, or at least a couple of new players I've never even seen before. So, you know, if we look at the ODIs especially, you know, it's just a revolving door of players, and this is what's hurting Sri Lanka. Like, I think there needs to be some sort of restructuring in their first class cricket, definitely, because what I've found is that compared to other nations, Sri Lanka's first class cricket structure is very convoluted, and it's very bloated as well. So, and it's very, there's a massive disparity. So if you're from Colombo, there's literally like 15, 20 clubs within the Colombo area. Then you get out somewhere like Kandy, Gaul, there's like only a couple of clubs there. So it's a very convoluted structure, and I think that's what's really hampering Sri Lanka finding a really good combination of players for international level.
And looking forward towards the end of September now is the next lot of Test cricket for Sri Lanka, where they head to Abu Dhabi to take on Pakistan. It's hard to see a big turnaround in such a short time.
Look, Abu Dhabi's going to be tough, and playing Pakistan as well. They're a very, very red hot side right now, and I really don't see a massive turnaround. Again, Sri Lanka are really going to have to rely on the experienced guys, you know, the old spearheads to really pick them up if they're going to challenge Pakistan. Because once they're up against guys like Mohammad Amir and Wahab Riaz, you know, that's going to be quite a challenge. You know, Pakistan have excellent spinners as well, so it's going to be uphill battle for the Sri Lankans for sure. They'll be heavily demoralized as well because of this series. You know, I can only imagine what the mental damage it's going to be for the Sri Lankans, because this is, you know, they've lost 5-0 to India in their own home ground. That's where this is a big shock to me, right? If it was overseas, you know, if this was in Australia or India or England, I'd be like, okay, well, Sri Lanka have traditionally struggled overseas, but this is in their own home ground as well. So how they're going to recover from this is going to be a big one. Daniel, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's across all formats. As you said, 3-0 in the tests, 5-0 in the ODIs, lost the only T20. So they're really, it doesn't feel like there's a respite for Sri Lanka at all. Just on the flip side, the interim head coach of Sri Lanka, Nick Pothas, he was, you know, effervescent in his praise for India, saying they were like the All Blacks of cricket. They're in a pretty good spot at the moment, India.
They certainly are. No, look, I wouldn't say India the All Blacks of cricket right now. I think they were just up against a very incompetent Sri Lankan cricket team. If you just look at all the scores there, Daniel, Sri Lanka just did not turn up. That's what really disappoints me. Like, they just didn't turn up at any point in the game. So if you look at the first ODI, you know, first ODI, you know, India were, Sri Lanka were bowled out, bundled out for 216. India got that in like 30 overs. Second ODI, you know, Sri Lanka only made 236 for 8, and India got that within, you know, within. I mean, okay, the second ODI was a bit of a struggle. That's the game where Darren Judd got his 6 for. So the second ODI was one where Sri Lanka did compete, but again, India just got over the line. Third ODI, it's a similar story. Sri Lanka making a low score and India getting it with relative ease. I mean, India definitely an exceptional side right now. They've literally got all boxes covered, but I really don't think they were tested. Like the value of their team was not really tested in this tour. You know, I think I read one quote where Shikhar Dhawan was bowled and he didn't even know who actually got him out. He wasn't aware of the bowler's name. So it's been that kind of tour for India. It's become they've got these victories very easily. So they've just gone through the motion sort of thing, and that doesn't look good on Sri Lanka, because you know it just goes to show how incompetent they were.
And to roll that in, to really illustrate that, you can't imagine if they're playing Australia or New Zealand or England or South Africa that Darwin wouldn't know who got him out.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. So yeah, if it was somewhere else, I'm you know yeah. So it's I wouldn't. I mean, this is a it's an amazing success there for India to completely whitewash the series. However, I don't think the real value of this side has been truly tested yet. I think once you're up against someone like England or South Africa or Australia, that's when we'll really see how good this Indian team is. But look, India's going to get a lot of confidence out of this, because for any team, even the subcontinental teams, winning in Sri Lanka has traditionally been a very, very tough effort. It's not easy at all. I mean, Australia were in Sri Lanka last year for a three-test series, and Sri Lanka pummeled them 3-0, right? So for India to beat Sri Lanka 3-0 in Sri Lanka, it is quite a massive achievement. So
It
India,
kind of
you know.
feels like that Australian tour was a little bit too early now. If they had, if they're over here coming up, you'd have to think that they'd back
Oh
themselves to do
yes.
something similar to what India have just done.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, because that Australian side that came last year, Sri Lanka was sort of going through a bit of a good phase at that point. Matthews was scoring, Herath was dynamite with the ball. You know, they had there was it was a much better side back then. But I mean, yeah, if Australia came to Sri Lanka now, I have a feeling they'd have a much better chance. But traditionally speaking, Sri Lanka have actually been doing very well against Australia of late, Which is the bizarre thing, yeah. Like, although they're losing to all these other countries and losing to the likes of Zimbabwe and stuff, whenever Sri Lanka have been up against Australia, they've always been prepared for that battle. So, it's quite bizarre. But
is it almost a case of it's worth getting up for? I don't want to sound terrible, but is it almost a case of okay, we're playing the Aussies, and of course the Aussies aren't what they were in the late 90s and early 2000s, but. It almost feels like, and I don't think Sri Lanka are the only team guilty of this, but it almost feels like teams have gone, okay, this is our chance to almost kick Australia and get back at them for 20 years of getting hammered and getting verbally abused from pillar to post. So maybe that's got something to do with it. But as you said, they certainly do, compared to, as you said, losing to Zimbabwe, struggling against Bangladesh and having issues with some of the smaller sides, their performances against Australia sort of really stand out as a glaring difference, don't they?
Oh, definitely, without a doubt. And that tells me that Sri Lanka can compete. However, they're currently very mentally fragile. That's what it looks like. So, you know, you've just been rolled 3-0 in the tests, right? And then suddenly got to back up in the one days. You get rolled 5-0 there. You get rolled in the T20s. So it's like, you know, where's your head at kind of thing. So that's the problem with Sri Lanka. And again, you know, if I was to talk about the specifics of their first class structure, I think this is what's really hampering them from finding a good team, Daniel. It's the first class cricket in Sri Lanka. It's not at a good standard. It's not at the standard you want to develop international quality players. So that's what I think. I think going forward, Sri Lanka just need to really sit down, look at who is performing, who's not performing, realize who are the players with the potential, the talent, what have you, and just keep them in the side. I think at this point, I would be very careful in investing in youngsters at this stage. So, you know, any bloke who's under the age of 25, you know, like just, I think, you know, focusing on youth is not Sri Lanka's biggest priority right now. They need to just find a team that's going to stick it out and do well at the 2019 World Cup. I think that's the focus for the Sri Lankan cricket team right now. Because I read a report recently there, Daniel, and after this whitewash by India, it says here that Thursday, it means that Sri Lanka's chances of an automatic place in the 2019 World Cup now depend on the results of, you know, between West Indies, Ireland, and, you know, between West Indies and England. So what it's saying here is that it says here that if the West Indies seal automatic qualification for the World Cup, Sri Lanka will have to play the World Cup qualifier scheduled for March 2018. What this means, Daniel, is that Sri Lanka now will have to qualify for the World Cup as a minor nation, as like a Hong Kong or like a, you know, it's very, very embarrassing. Like it.
Oh yeah.
It's very disappointing to read stuff like this, but this is what's happened, right? So this to me is the biggest priority right now, getting Sri Lanka out of this situation. So that's what I think the focus should be at. Yeah,
absolutely. And look, there's absolutely no quick fix to that. As you said, really the focus does have to be on the 2019 World Cup, because not making the World Cup is just unthinkable. For a side of Sri Lanka's history, for a side that's competed and been a fixture at World Cups, for, you know, as long as I can remember, and well beyond that. To get to that point where you're not in a World Cup is unforgivable. And the problem there is a different format, obviously, but the West Indies have that good win against England and get a little bit of confidence from that and start. And I mean, they've got their own problems. It's not whitewash over the issues that West Indies cricket are facing. We could spend hours trying to digest that as well. But there's some hope there, if I want to throw the term out there, for Shy Hope.
He's a good player.
He at least looks like that sort of player that they can build around, whereas you look at that Sri Lankan side at the moment and you can't really pinpoint one guy that you say, okay, this is a young talent that's going to be there for the next 5-10 years and we can build an entire side around them. So that'll be the that's got to be the job, is finding and locking in that talent, and as you said, getting to the point where you stick with them right through, go through those tough results, really grind it out, play that tough cricket, and come out the other side. India, as you said, probably not tested so much in this tournament. They've got the ODI series coming up against Australia in a week's time, so that should be a little bit of a test for them. But back in their own conditions will be interesting. But just before we wrap up, do you have any final thoughts over the whole Indian tour of Sri Lanka?
Final thoughts would just be, congrats to India. It is a phenomenal achievement to defeat Sri Lanka on their own home turf, and so resoundingly as well. It's not to take anything away from them at all. And I think Sri Lanka's big focus now, the only thing they should be focusing on now is just that 2019 World Cup. They need to really analyze these results and see why they faltered, and just ensure that they pick the right players for the right conditions. That's the main thing. It's a very disappointing day for Sri Lankan cricket fans worldwide. I was quite shocked to see this as well, and I think as Sri Lankan fans, I think we need to support the team. We shouldn't talk them down so much, because we do know the Sri Lankans are capable of playing some amazing cricket when things do go their way. They are a team that can fight, and I just don't. Unfortunately, this series didn't really highlight the more notable strengths of the Sri Lankan cricket team there. So that's all I'll have to say about that one there for you, Daniel.
Absolutely. Now I hear you, and absolutely. Very pleased to have you on. Very pleased that we could sort of dig in a little bit, because it's one of those series I think a lot of our readers and listeners won't have really got the ins and outs of. So it's good to sort of dig in a little bit. Of course, on the website, www.realsport101.com, we'll be really gearing up, obviously, for the Ashes moving forward. But that 2019 World Cup, the focus is going to be there. So I'm sure there's going to be plenty of interesting stories that come out between now and then. So, Nuwan, thank you very much for joining me. Before I let you go, is there any Twitter or anything you want to plug for people at home to follow you on?
I haven't got a Twitter handle or anything like that. But look, you can catch all my articles there on Real Sport as well. I do like to write fairly regularly for Real Sport. So, my handle there for Real Sport, I believe, it's www.realsport.com. And I believe it's just /, and then you just enter my name. Right, it's /writers/ Nuwan, I believe. So
excellent. So I'm sure you can find you there. If not, Google it. That's what you do with everything, yeah, anyway, isn't it? But of course, check out the cricket section there, and it all crops up. Or Real Sport Cricket on Facebook. So thank you very much, and until next time, have a lovely week. Hey!